the All Things XR podcast. Where you can get the best AR/VR analyzers from the biggest names in the field. Hi everyone, welcome to the All Things XR podcast. I'm Mojtaba. In today's episode, we talk about content in AR and VR. Our special guest is Kathy Hackel, one of the top influencers in the AR/VR space. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure. Can you tell us more about yourself and what you do?
Yes, definitely. So I currently work as a futurist for You Are Here Labs in Atlanta. We're one of the top XR labs in the southeastern United States. We work with clients like AT&T, Lexus, National Geographic. I also used to work as a virtual reality evangelist for HTC Vive, and I also as a chief communications officer for Future Lighthouse, a virtual reality studio that has premiered content at the Venice Film Festival in Tribeca, and I'm very much involved in the industry. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Great. So content, everyone knows that whatever the medium is, content is king. I think that like the saying in real estate that location, location, and location are the three most important things in any media content. Content and content are the three most important elements. And in VR, AR, which are fairly new mediums for end users, what do you think about the role of content in AR, VR?
Well, I think it's incredibly important, just like you mentioned. The hardware, in my point of view, the hardware is universal in the sense that, you know, everyone's going to have access to the same hardware, but the content is really what's going to take our industry forward. And at some point, the content will also need to be culturally relevant, which I think is extremely important for global audiences. And in all honesty, I see this as a great opportunity for global content creators that are interested in the space and getting in and creating that content.
Yeah, so what are your ideas about the storytelling in AR and VR? Which one do you think has the better potential for it?
Well, I think it's really a conversation about how content is shifting. It's shifting from content that is 2D flat to content that is 3D, 360, and sometimes holographic. So when you start thinking about how the content in general is shifting, how content is going to change as we move forward. So for example, with virtual reality, I even talk about not calling it so much storytelling as calling it story living. And then with augmented reality, calling it story doing, because they're very different. I think they both have great potential. From a narrative perspective, I'm excited about what is being done in virtual reality, but I also think that augmented reality has amazing potential for that shared social experience when it comes to storytelling. So I think they're both going to be really interesting, you know, in our future when it comes to how we tell stories.
Great. So what are the genres do you think that will have the most potential for these mediums?
I also see, a rise in immersive theater. So for the people that are listening to this that might not have experienced immersive theater, it's pretty much where you're not sitting down in front of a stage watching someone act. You're actually part of the play. So there's something in New York called Sleep No More, which a lot of people in the VR AR industry have been inspired by. And basically you go into this immersive theater experience and you're part of this play. You're walking around, you're experiencing it on your own. Sometimes the actors will talk to you. Sometimes they'll engage with you. Sometimes you become part of the story. So I think that also with VR and AR, we're going to see a rise of immersive theater and immersive content of this sort. When you look at what Disney's doing with their Star Wars theme park, they're going to be opening. And for example, one of the hotels is going to have an immersive storyline where when you check in, you are going to be a certain character and you can kind of follow that narrative.
Great. So one of the strategies that content creators have done for years is to retell the previous successful stories in other mediums, like, for example, making movies out of successful novels. About 6 years ago, I made an AR version of Angry Birds. Angry Birds was the hype on those years, and though Rovio didn't let me to publish it, I saw the potential for this kind of strategy in AR. What do you think about this, and do you think that AR and VR can take advantage of previously successful concepts?
I mean, I think there's always going to be success when it comes to using successful IP when allowed. So, of course, there's going to be room for that. But I'm really more excited about what creators are coming up with that is original. So I'll give you an example. Penrose Studios, which are based out of San Francisco, they're amazing, amazing storytellers in virtual reality. And they have something called Arden. One of their experiences is called Arden's Wake. And I saw it last year at Tribeca, and it was such a powerful way of telling stories, animated stories at that. So when I went back this year and I got to see the second half of it, it was really impressive. The seamless storyline, the flow, and they do it differently. You know, they're not trying to be Pixar. They're trying to be Penrose. And I think that that's incredibly important when it comes to thinking about content in VR and AR, is we're doing a completely different medium. And while, yes, there's always going to be success with, you know, IP that's extremely valuable, like Disney and like Avengers in VR and AR, I think that it's also going to come down to, how we create these new ways of telling stories. So I think Penrose is an excellent example of a studio that's doing it correctly, and they're just trying to be themselves and trying to do it the right way.
So, Kathy, what are the differences in creating content for new mediums like AR and VR from the other 2D mediums? I mean, for example, in VR, unlike older mediums, you get immersed in the content, and somehow content creators should manage your focus and think of parameters they didn't have to bother with in older mediums. What do you think are the biggest differences?
Well, for VR specifically, you're thinking about, instead of it being a screen, it's a sphere. You're in a sphere. So the person has agency to look wherever they want. So, you know, there's different ways to go about it, whether it's an experience where you have free range and you just want to let the user kind of go wherever they want with the story, or there's ways to kind of point their attention to certain places. So I think it framing that way, it's not a stage, it's not a flat surface, it's a sphere. So when you're creating stories for this immersive content, that changes the paradigm. I think that the people that come into it that think that they can do what they did in Hollywood and bring it into VR, that's not going to work very well. They need to learn this is a truly new medium where we're all learning as we go. We're all making mistakes. So when you're filming 360 or you're creating a VR experience, it's a completely different way of viewing the world. And for me, something that's incredibly important also is when you put someone into a VR experience, is are you taking into account some sensibilities and how they're going to feel and how they're going to react? So I think from a UX perspective, it's incredibly important as well.
I see. So, Kathy, one of the new types of content is volumetric video, and I think if we can make it mainstream and easy to create, it will be revolutionary. And Magic Leap, as you know, will use it as their content for their first experiences with celebrities like Shaquille O'Neal. What are your thoughts about that? How important will be this kind of content?
I think it's incredibly important. I mean, it's exciting to see the new cameras, that can do volumetric. I've been able to do a few experiences that have some volumetric video, and they're just totally amazing in my point of view. When you mention Magic Leap, it's really interesting because I don't think so much volumetric as I think spatial computing. So I think that, we're ushering in an era of spatial computing. We're able to engage with technology in our reality and in our surroundings. So, while I'm excited about volumetric and what comes with that, I'm really more excited about spatial computing.
You mentioned spatial computing, and I know you're exploring that space as well. Can you tell our listeners what it is and how content creators can take advantage of it?
Yeah, definitely. So when you think about spatial computing, you're thinking about, like I said, engaging with technology in your surroundings. What Magic Leap is going to attempt to do is to pretty much bring content into our daily lives and into our world. So you're engaging with technology, whether it's content or whether it's work or whether whatever it is going to be, you're going to be embracing it in your, you know, in your surroundings, in your reality. So in some ways, I think people talk about this as moving away from screens to kind of really being up, looking up again instead of looking down into our, our phones. Now we're going to be looking up and kind of engaging with content, you know, like we should. So it's really exciting. It's an evolving field for sure. I definitely am excited about what Magic Leap is doing in the space. They did a live stream a couple of weeks ago, their first Magic Leap live show. And, and one of the people on the show was talking about how they were excited about how spatial computing is going to bring about a lot more personalized storytelling. And I thought that that was very impactful, obviously, how they're viewing how spatial computing is going to impact the way we tell stories. So, I think definitely, look at what Magic Leap is doing in the space.
You mentioned spatial computing, and one of the most hyped terms and concepts in AR space right now is AR cloud. What do you think about that?
I'm by no means an AR cloud expert. I'm still kind of trying to learn more about it. I think it's going to be incredibly important, though. I don't think that businesses and marketers and content creators realize how impactful it's going to be. It's going to be surrounding us. I do think that developing it in a very responsible way is going to be critical so that we're not, in a hyper reality situation like that video that's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Many people have seen,
Yeah.
So I think that that's what's going to be really important. The AR cloud's going to be important, for many different factors, but that's just one of them. I want to make sure in our future, the future of the industry, that we're not, that if you have more money, you're able to kind of reduce the amount of ads that are directed your way, whereas someone that doesn't have access to so much money is going to be bombarded by a lot of, a lot of advertisements, some of the stuff they don't want or need. So I think it's going to be a balancing, and I think it'll be interesting to see how the AR cloud develops.
Yeah, totally agree. So AR, VR, as in their current state, are fairly new. And if we address problems at the beginning, I think it will be easier to solve them. I know you are active in creating diversity in these fields. What are your thoughts about diversity in AR and VR and why it is important?
I'm very motivated by our industry. As a woman that's been in the space for about 2.5 years at this point, I can tell you that I've been supported and I've been championed by a lot of women and a lot of minorities. And that to me, has brought about many opportunities. So I'm trying to give back. I'm trying to help. In my case, I am of Latin American origin. So I'm trying to help more Latinx, students get internships and get involved in the industry, as well as women. I think we have a chance. We have a chance to make this part of technology not as, more diverse than other parts. And I do see, for example, in the women in VR and AR groups, just a lot of activity and a lot of sisterhood, which is exciting, a lot of collaboration. And also, once we're in VR, for example, and we're talking about avatars, I think that's important to talk about identity. We're going to be able to be whoever we want to be in virtual reality, So I don't think, color of your skin or, who you are necessarily is going to be that important when we're actually engaging in social VR. We're going to be able to create who we want to be.
So there has been great things happening for AR and VR for mainstream users recently. Microsoft launched Windows Mixed Reality headsets, which are relatively cheap compared to other AR glasses. Oculus has launched Oculus Go. Content-wise, we had several apps in Coachella like Eminem and Justin Timberlake augmented reality applications. When do you think these technologies will be truly mainstream, and when will be their iPhone moment?
People always ask that, when is it going to be mainstream, right? And I think that, and especially with augmented reality, I don't think it's going to be mainstream until it doesn't serve, it doesn't solve pain points. I think utility and context are going to be incredibly important to make it mainstream. And we'll get there, we'll get there. A lot of people talk about 2020 as a year, as an important year. So, that's 2 years away. I don't think it'll be necessarily mainstream by then, but I think we're getting towards that. We're moving towards that. If you think about it from a perspective of every single mobile company is already preparing for the future beyond mobile, and that future is VR and AR and 5G and AI and IoT, if you think about that, then we know it's coming. It's going to happen. I just don't really I don't have a crystal ball to tell you which year, but a lot of people talk about 2020 being a pivotal year in how this is going to evolve.
Yeah, I totally agree. So one of the most important types of content we've seen, especially in VR, is creating empathy for other people in problem, like, for example, creating VR experiences with people in refugee camps. What are your thoughts about this use case of VR?
So I got into virtual reality just kind of for that reason. So back in 2004, I used to work for CNN, and part of my job at CNN was to look at all the raw footage that was coming in from the war in Iraq. So when you have to watch that type of war-torn, you know, war images, it can be very traumatic. So, I had to turn my humanity switch off at least just a little bit to kind of get, you know, to kind of move forward in life. And it wasn't until I had my first virtual reality experience that I didn't feel like I was able to fully turn it back on. The first experience I had was confinement by The Guardian, where they put you in a 6x9 solitary confinement cell where soldiers spend about 90% of their time. And I would say it was probably 3 to 4 minutes, and I was claustrophobic at that point. I took the headset off and, you know, I said, wow, this is the future storytelling in some level. I want to be part of this industry. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And then it made me, the fact that I was able to turn that humanity switch on again, it just spoke to the power of the medium. And while I like talking about empathy, I think that we need to strive for compassion more so than empathy. Empathy just makes me feel bad for someone, but compassion leads to action. It actually leads me to try to help or try to change the world. So I would love for our industry to shift the conversation from empathy to compassion in the future.
So, Kathy, about big players in the field, we had Facebook F8 and Google I/O, and both are betting big on AR. What do you think about big players entering this field, and do you think that startups still have a chance?
I think some startups do. You know, I think that a lot of startups are going to be bought out by some of the big technology companies. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, so we'll see. I mean, I still think there's chance for startups to create something big and be impactful in this world. I do, from a big tech standpoint, I see, for example, Facebook is going to be battling it out, especially with Snapchat, when it comes to augmented reality dominance from a social network perspective. So you're already seeing, you know, a lot of features that Snapchat had, now Facebook Messenger, Facebook and Instagram are having with augmented reality. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch how Facebook and Snapchat approach augmented reality as we move forward.
Yeah, exactly. For example, Google announced AR Core Anchors, and I knew several startups that are working on this exact same thing on multi-user AR, and they were suddenly facing a competition with a big company like Google, and they were in trouble overnight. So, Kathy, what do you think about the future of this field? Do you think that someone will have a monopoly in this space in the future?
I hope not. I hope no one has a monopoly over it. I hope that doesn't happen. You know, we'll have to see. Obviously, all the big tech companies are exploring the medium and they're investing heavily in it. So we'll have to see kind of how it weighs out. I hope it's not just one company leading it. I don't think it'll be that way at all. We'll have to see. I do think that augmented reality eventually will be part of our daily lives, you know, in a few years' time.
Exactly.
And I don't think necessarily one company is going to have the authority over it.
Sure. Yeah. So how do you see the future of AR VR? Will we have something like Oasis in Ready Player One?
No, I mean, I think we'll definitely use VR for social purposes, you know, whether it's watching a World Cup game together or, you know, just having fun with your friends in social VR. But I'm really more excited about augmented reality and eventually getting, you know, what I call the Ray-Ban moment, when we have augmented reality glasses that are hip and cool and that will do all these wonderful things. So, you know, I'm waiting for that, you know, hopefully 10 years, maybe 10, 15 years for the Ray-Ban moment. But I think it'll be exciting when we stop looking at our screens head down and start kind of looking heads up. So,
yeah, I hope so. Well, thank you very much, Kathy, for joining the All Things XR podcast.
Thank you so much.